I want to tell you something. Judy's dad never liked the Black Hills or didn't like our area because he said we had tunnel vision. When you get up in northern Minnesota, there's too many trees. You can't see what's going on. We need, and I just sitting by the table, then these words came to me, we need to expand our vision. Without a vision, the what? People perish. So as you look at your community, what do you see? As you look at Sisseton, what do you see? As you look at Wabe or Rosholt or Webster or Rosholt or Roslyn or some of these communities, what do you see? You know, it seems like I'm always on the road, but going somewhere, visiting somebody. But you know, if you're looking at the community, you see towns. They don't look like they're dying. They look like they've been dead for a long time. But we need to come to a place of seeing God resurrecting the people in those communities, setting them free, breaking the bonds, breaking the yoke, touching hearts, raising up men and women of God and children of God. Don't limit it to the adults. We need to see God stirring in our communities just like he's stirring in our hearts. But very often, we don't see that. You know, I drive through Peaver on Wednesday nights. I didn't this week, but most of the time I drive through Peaver on Wednesday nights. And you look at the community, it doesn't look like a community. Oh, there's a few nice houses and there's a few nice things. Or you drive through Roslyn, or you drive through, how many have ever driven through Victor? How many know what's there? You know, how many realize that Hammer at one time probably was a thriving community? How many realize Peaver, when I came to town, had a school? And so we come to a place where we need to expand our vision. It's seeing what is and then seeing what God can do. It's seeing what is fact in our minds, but what is truth with God. And we're going to talk about resurrecting the desert places, but if you were here last week, if you weren't here, I'm just going to paraphrase for a few moments. Lazarus is dead. Jesus goes to visit Martha and Mary with the purpose of raising Lazarus from the dead. And so he comes to Martha and says, your brother will rise again. And Martha begins to look in the future and say, yeah, I know he will. He's going to rise again on the last day. Don't always think, and we mentioned last week about end times when God speaks. God is the God of the now. God wants to do things now. God wants to do things in your life today. God wants to touch your life today. God wants to change the things that are bothering you and working in your life and leading you away from him now. Say now with me.
Now.
Say with me, God is a now God. God is for today. You know, God lives in the past, present, and future, but he works today. He ministers today. He flows with his spirit today. And so they go through the things, and you know the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept, and there's all kinds of thoughts about that. But then he comes to the tomb. And he looks at Martha and says, roll the stone away. And Martha says, but Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinks. He has an odor. He's decaying. And Jesus looks at her and said, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Let's just stop there because it was a long week, long Sunday last week with Michael here. And by the way, if you want to get a CD of Michael's message, it was great. Talk to Kirk or Andy back there. But did I not tell you, if you would believe, you would see the glory? Ask yourself a simple question. Am I believing God or am I believing the devil? Am I believe because everything looks run down and everything's decaying and people are committing suicide and doing drugs and doing meth and doing all the stuff? Do I believe that the whole community is going to hell in a handbasket? Or do I believe that God is going to transform this community because he's transforming me and he's going to take me and raise me up to minister to people who need him? Where are we at? God has us here for a time like this. God has us here for a purpose with a plan and a destiny for the people that you and I come in contact with and the people that are in our sphere of influence. We have an opportunity to see them come to Christ. How many of you know more than five people? How many of you ever have a friend? How many of you know what a friend is? How many of you aren't talking? I think we better start over. Kirk, you want to do worship? It's scary. You have many people that you know that don't know Jesus. If you don't have, go out and find some. But God is calling you to a deeper calling than just breathing. Sometimes it's nice to be able to breathe. Thank you, Margaret. Welcome. Good to have you back. But God is calling us, commissioned us, empowered us, anointed us to reach people for Jesus Christ. How many of you gentlemen go out for coffee with somebody? Curtis, just because you don't drink coffee, you still can have a friend. How many of you ever have coffee with somebody in the mornings? Is she saved? You know, ladies go out for coffee too. How many of you women go out for coffee? How many have a coffee shop where you work? How many of you just aren't committing to anything? I understand this is the biggest bomb I've dropped for a long time. I'm going to move on. You ain't going to commit yourself. I understand that. This is worse than playing trouble with Curtis. So anyway, God has called us, commissioned us, anointed us to actually change our communities. Because the community is not the buildings, the community is the people. But it's going to take faith. It's going to take listening to God. I don't know if Martha would have said, I'm not going to do it. We're not going to roll that stone. If Jesus would have had him come right through the stone. I don't know. Do you ever think about it? Wouldn't that be fun to see Lazarus? Out he comes. But they rolled away the stone. And then Jesus had something interesting to say. He said, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. There are people bound by Satan that needs freedom. Look at me. Everybody, look at me. How many of you know someone who was once living for Jesus is now living in sin? God doesn't ever condone sin. If you're living in sin, you're lost. God doesn't wink at it. God doesn't say it's okay. There are people bound by Satan who once served God and they need freedom. They need someone to come and put their arm around them, invite them back. They need someone to love them. The Bible says God's choice is that we are free from sin and live in righteousness. The world has mixed up the church. Well, the church thinks that, well, you're saved once, you can live any way you want, you can do anything you want, you can act like you want. That's a lie from hell. Come on. It's true. As I told you a couple weeks ago, grace is not an entitlement to sin. Grace is an empowerment to walk holy and minister in the name of Jesus. And so we come to a place where we walk with Christ, we live for Christ. And the Bible says if you see somebody taken in a trespass or a sin, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. I don't believe, and I'm not accepting, that once I come to God, He saved me so I could sin. So we come to a place where we walk this life out in holiness. Say holiness with me.
Holiness.
And there are people who have given their life to God and then given it back to Satan. It's not a good place for them to be. The Bible tells us it would have been better if they've never been saved than coming to Christ and giving their life back to the devil. It'd been better that they never would have heard. That's how forceful it is. We come to a place where we have come to set the captives free. Are we okay? How many of you are alive? And I want to be like Reinhard Bonnke and plunder hell to populate heaven. I want to come to a place where every sinner knows Jesus. Every backslidden Christian comes back. Everyone who wants to understand Jesus comes to a place where they're finding Him.
Amen.
And we're living this life in faith. And God tells us to do something, we do it. We walk it out. We live it out. We follow it. How come you're not jumping up and down and shouting and screaming? Okay, I understand. Isaiah chapter 60, we're turning the page. Talked about a new vision. The Bible lists some visions. The Bible lists some words from God to Isaiah. Don't miss these. Don't miss these. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. How many believe God is a God that doesn't change? How many believe that Israel wasn't the apple of God's eye? Israel was God's plan for the world. God wanted Israel, the world, to see Israel and follow Him. Christian, you're not somebody super, super special. You're part of God's plan. You're part of God's system that shows the world what people are like. Therefore, we're special to God because He loves you and understands you and loves your heart and loves what you're doing. It's not based on what you're doing. It's based on who you are. I'm reading a book called Avalanche by Stephen Hill. Stephen Hill was the evangelist at Pensacola during the revival. And his main theme in that book is that the church is sitting idly by while there's an avalanche of sin engulfing it. Stephen Hill is a skier. And he's been in avalanches where the snow has come off the mountains and covered people up. The church has become so ingrained in pleasing people, it's forgot about pleasing God. Love the way you're shouting. I want you to understand something. Before this church is ever about me or you, it's about God. And we can have as many people, and we can have the best music, and we can have the best things going, but if God's not pleased by our lives, nothing's going to happen. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Can you tell me, Pastor Sigmi? I didn't hear that one. I want you to understand that God loves you with every ounce of energy he has, but he will not override his word to get you to heaven. The Bible says that God holds his word higher than his name. I want you to consider that. He holds his word higher than his name. His word is greater than his reputation. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness of people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Anybody ever hear that the world is getting dark? Ever hear darkness simply means sin? That the world is becoming more tolerant to sin? Things are being passed now that never were passed before. People are doing things like killing babies when they're supposed to be aborted and they don't die and you just kill them. Not just talk about abortion, but I hate abortion. I hate it. It's a diabolical scheme for some other group of people to take over the world. But I want you to understand something. Every one of you, how many here are living for Jesus? How many here are living for God? You're just living for God. There's a light within you. There's a light of the Holy Spirit. And God is calling us to rise and shine, to arise and break through the darkness, to arise and demonstrate the light of Jesus, to arise and walk in the glory of God, that manifested presence of Jesus. And much of the church is willing to sit in a recliner, put your feet up, and walk Duck Dynasty. I'll say that because it's one of my favorite programs. There's a change coming, and there's a change coming in your life. There's a change coming in your attitude. There's a change coming in the way you think and the way you live and the way you function. And God is transforming our minds to think like he does. God is bringing us to a place where the things that used to tear us down and depress us and bring us into bondage and bring fear and worry, he's breaking them.
Yes.
It's going.
Yes.
It's not allowed to stay within you anymore because God is raising up an army of militant soldiers to go out there and take this world for Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. The Antichrist is not taken over until we take the spoils. We're reaping a harvest for the kingdom of God. He says, it don't look like it, but he says the field is white unto harvest. What Stephen said this morning is absolutely true. We don't even talk about it. But parents, some of you have given up on your kids. Some of you are saying they'll never get saved. That's the devil's telling you that. And it pounds on you and pounds on you and pounds on you. And you come to a place where you start taking hold of it. You take a grasp of it. That, listen to me. Wow, this is good. That which is not of faith, the Bible says, is sin. Every time the devil plants a seed in your mind that your kids are going to hell and you buy into it, you're accepting what Satan is saying and you're sinning. It's not anymore about shutting the door. It's about stop listening. We come to a place where we need to look at our family and say, I can see these people praising God, serving God, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. I'm rising up and the glory of God is shining and I'm taking what God has promised me. It's time. Same with our communities. We've given them to the devil. We've just said, do you know, why don't we have a peaceful protest around the liquor store? They want the spirits. We'll give them the Holy Spirit. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? There's places in Guatemala and those places where the liquor store, Colombia, where the liquor stores shut down. The jail became a pharmacy or something. They didn't need it anymore. Sorry, Woody, you're fired. Don't need you anymore. Don't need any police. That day comes when the transformation of Jesus Christ into our hearts and our lives is real. And we begin walking this thing out. We begin living this thing. Somebody drives up. Oh, man, that's good, Lord. Don't put up a gate on your property. Don't put up a gate on your driveway. And you may say, why? Somebody's going to drive in there, and because the glory of God is there, they'll get saved in their car. Two of you thought that was pretty good. I thought it was great. How about that? When they come into your office, when they come to see you, there's a presence of the God of God there that the light is shining. Jesus said something we need to listen to. And I'm not just trying to blow smoke. You are the light of what? The world. Are we?
Yes.
Really? Are we as bright as it gets? I've been called a lot of stuff, but not bright. Are we as bright as it gets, folks?
Yes.
Then take the bushel off. Don't cover it up. Let it shine out. We see, I got a bald head. It glows. It shines better when it glows. Take the light, take the basket off and let it shine. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is on you. Not just the leadership, not just the pastor, not just the evangelist. It's on you. That glory of God. You want to be excited about something? Just start seeing God flow through you. You can have a personal revival every day of your life. You can have the Holy Spirit ministering to you every day of your life. But you know, I've been there. I backed away. Let somebody else do it. Bring in an evangelist. Do something else. God says, do it. Go do it. But how's he going to do it? Don't worry about that. Let him figure it out. He'll do it. Rise and shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen. Turn with me to Psalm 18. How many had a dark week? Okay, look at me. If this was an abnormally difficult week for you, I want you to stand. Anybody? Anybody? Stan had one, what, a couple weeks ago? Stand up. This was an abnormally difficult week. I felt the darkness just close in on me. Just, poof, there it was. I want to give you a verse. How many else are planning for a dark week? Turn with me to Psalm 18. Psalm 18, 28. For you will light my lamp, the Lord my God will turn my darkness into light. Amen. Say that with me. God is turning my darkness into light. God is turning. Everybody stand and say it. Come on. We need to remember this. Say this. God is turning my darkness into light. And I am, through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Give the Lord a hand of praise. It's true. Don't let that darkness come. God's taken that darkness and turning it into light. You are the light of the world. If you believe that, you can sit down. If not, remain standing. You are the light of the world. God has taken the darkness that Satan meant to smother you and turning it into light. Can we believe that?
Yes.
Will we accept that?
Yes.
Okay. How many of you have an accountability partner? How many have someone you share with? How many of you share everything? I feel lousy. I feel good. I feel great. I feel like I want your money. No. How many of you feel, how many have someone that you can share with? You need someone to share with. If it's your spouse, that's great. But you need someone that you can share your innermost feeling with, and they won't either laugh at you or tell you to shut up. You need somebody. You got to have somebody. Why? Because we do not hold fast and think about what we say. How many of you, boy, I'm not picking on the farmers. How many of you would be praising God for the moisture that we had this spring if you have a drought this fall? How many of you stopped and thanked God for the crops, some of the only good crops that we had in this area, instead of complaining about the lack of moisture? How many of you stopped at harvest time when you drove by a farmer's field and said, "Thank you, Jesus"? How many know it could have been better, but at least couldn't have been better? Thank you, Andy. Couldn't have been better. It was the best ever. I mean, I've talked to guys that corn got this high. But what God wants to do in your heart as the light is shining is to break the demonic, negative, dark attitude that Satan wants you to speak. The Bible says life and death is where? Power of the tongue. How many of you are speaking life? How many are speaking death every once in a while? Hello. The Bible says that a fresh well cannot give salt and fresh water at the same time. The Bible says with it, with our tongues, we bless God and curse our brothers and sisters. And I'm getting off track here, but I'm going to go for it. We need I need, you need, to get the Word of God in our mouth and share it, whatever's happening in our lives, and realizing we're not in here to quit. We're not in here to give up. We're not in here to throw it in the towel. We're here to take the spoils. We're here to trample on Satan. We're here to trample on the things of this world. And we're here in the name of Jesus because God put you here, and so stay here. Not only has he made you the light of the world and his glory shining through you, he's empowered you to live. He's empowered you to combat everything of the enemy. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, set the captives free, open the prison bars. Hello? He's given me the oil of joy for sorrow and the spirit of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Church, you can sit here for 30-some years and listen to this. But until we take hold of it and live it, it just seems like idle tales and empty words. Because you make up your mind how you're going to do it and what you're going to do, just like I do. I need to choose to live for Jesus. I need to. And regardless of what's coming and regardless of what's happening, I need to have an expanded vision, a vision from God, a vision that sees what God is doing, not what Satan is doing. Satan's doing what he's designed to do. Make your life miserable. But God never designed you to let him do it. At least before you surrender, put up a whimper. God has challenged you to rise up like mighty warriors and to stand. To stand tall for Jesus, regardless of what's going on around you. We're not here to measure the atmosphere of the world. We're here to measure the atmosphere of the kingdom of God. And we flow in that. We live in that. I got one more thing to tell you. The Bible tells us very plainly as children of God to avoid the very appearance of evil. Don't put yourselves in places where Satan has control. Don't put yourself in places where he'll tear you down. If you've had trouble with drinking and drugs, don't put yourself in that place. If you've had trouble with promiscuity, if you've had trouble with pornography, don't flip your channels. It's time that the church is clean. Come on, I mean it. It's time that the world don't have to look at us and say, are they a Christian or aren't they? Are they really serving God or is that just a Sunday morning thing? It's time that we walk this out in the Spirit of God, in the kingdom of God, and the things of Satan are no longer attractive to us. You believe that? If you believe that, give the Lord a shout of praise. Give the Lord a shout of praise. It's time. It's time that we walk this life out in the glory of God. For God alone, our lives are holy and sanctified because of the blood of the Jesus and because of the working of the Holy Spirit. And we're walking this out for the glory of God. And nothing takes our heart away from us. We're serving God. And I believe that God has you folks here for this hour, for this day, to do what he's told you to do. And some of you are looking back and saying, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have did that. Forget it. Today's now. Today's now. Come to a place where my life is so radically wrapped up in God. I'm going for the gold. Nothing's going to hinder me. I don't care if I walk alone. I don't care if I walk with 10 people, 10,000, or a million people. I'm going for God. My life is about him. It's no longer my selfish ambitions and my desires to be accepted in this goofy world. I'm going to be accepted in the kingdom of God, and I'm giving God everything I got. You know why sometimes we're troubled? Because we can't make a decision which way we're going. It's time to go for God. I know people come and say, well, you don't need to repent and you don't need to do this and you don't need to do that. I'm telling you something. Repentance is necessary. This verse hit me yesterday. I put it on Facebook. I left part of it out. I don't know why I did. I know the verse. But maybe you folks wouldn't have liked it if I would put this part in, so. Repent and be converted so that your sins are blotted out. That's the part I forgot. So times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repent may mean changing your mind. I think it's deeper than that. But converted means to go the opposite direction. If you're going toward the kingdom of Satan, you turn around and you do, I think that's a 180, isn't it? It's not a 360, or I'd be still going this way. I got to remember that. You do a 180 and you start walking toward God. Whichever direction you're going that's against God, and you're going in that direction, it's time to stop. Say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. And you turn around. I'm never in the military, you can tell that. And you walk back. Repent and be converted so that your sins are blotted out. That means removed. God forgets about them, and times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. It's time for that. Jesus looked at the churches in Revelation, and only two out of seven did he say not to repent. The other ones he told them repent. His churches. Praise God.